serving up the champagne. Pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Pour yourself something cold, baby, cheers to this. Sometimes you gotta stay in, and you know where I live. Yeah, you know what we is. Sometimes you gotta stay in, and welcome to my house, baby.
Hello, game day. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. On a glorious Thursday in Cleveland, the Browns' second of four preseason games kicks off tonight at First Energy Stadium against the Atlanta Falcons. And in order to talk about the Falcons, we will talk with D'Orlando Ledbetter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the Falcons beat writer at 2 o'clock. He will preview tonight's game and also talk about what they've thought so far of Alex Mack, of course, Kyle Shanahan. A lot of storylines there. Justin Tuggle, let's not forget. The Browns linebacker, the son of great Jesse Tuggle, who was one of the great players in Atlanta Falcons history. So tonight, we'll talk about tonight's game. What is the one thing that you want to see from this team tonight? Let us know. That's our Ohio Business Machine Hot Topic. Today is all about you. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. We'll hear from the head coach, Hugh Jackson. We'll hear from Browns wide receiver Corey Coleman, not expected to go tonight as they want to get him 100%. He has been practicing all week. I think they're just being cautious with a guy that I think they've seen enough from on the field to know what he's capable of doing. But he practiced fully this week, participated in team drills and everything. Not expected to go tonight. They do expect him, though, next week for the joint practice and the game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll also have Jenny Vrentas with us. Matt and I will give you three things we're each watching for in the second hour today. But really, today's show, all about you, 216-578-0850. And just for everybody who's going to get up in arms about Corey Coleman, and my buddy Cleve TA wants to remind all of you that Odell Beckham missed the entire preseason and the first four games his rookie year and was just fine. It's about being healthy. Now, Corey Coleman not in danger of anything like that, but it just goes to show that getting your, if you got a guy who's a stud, getting him healthy is all you got to do.
Oh, there's no doubt. And I think that Corey Coleman may be at 95 to 99%. And that, what, 5% or 1%, depending on exactly where he's at, is just enough at this point with the trip to Tampa Bay just a few days away with a week's worth of work to keep him out of this football game. And also, this is, like, again, I guess a testament to how Hugh Jackson and Sashi Brown will approach training camp and approach players that have looked or lived up to everything they thought he was going to be. That means they sign a guy via free agency, you know, regardless of the amount of money. It's like, if the guy can play and he's going to be an asset for us, you need to treat him like an asset. You draft a young player that looks to be an impact player or a starter for you, you rest that guy. You take care of your asset. And I think while I would love to see Corey Coleman play in the preseason, I'd love to see how explosive he is, you know, in live action. I think coaches that have been doing it well longer than I've even done it in my career believe that they've seen enough to treat him like the prize that we all think he can be.
Yeah, and you know, it was funny. Talking with Al Saunders, and he told a story about back when he was at University of Southern California. So that's how long back it was. And he was supposed to watch tape for, you know, on a player. And the guy gave him basically just a reel of film and said, you know, let me know what you think of this receiver. No number on it, nothing. And he said, you know, I walked in there and said, you know, coach, you know, which player is it that you want me to watch? And he said, this is the University of Southern California. If you put that tape on there and you don't know which guy it is you're supposed to watch to come play here, he's probably not good enough to
right.
play here.
Absolutely.
And his point was that when you ask somebody, if somebody comes to practice, to one of our practices, and says, which guy's Corey Coleman? Al Saunders would have said, why don't you just watch practice and then tell me who Corey Coleman is at the end of the day, because it's obvious. His speed, the way that he's been able to perform, has jumped off of the tape and certainly jumped off of the field at practice. He was at practice this week, so I don't want people to think that he's shut down. He's not. I think they're just being judicious with him, and I think we'll get to see him. Now, on the other side of it, I think Corey Coleman is going to be our leading receiver this year, so I want him to be able to get in game situations as many reps as possible with RG3.
and it's not going to happen. You're going to get week three, really, that joint practice with Tampa, and then week three, that game against Tampa, that Friday night game in 8 days from now. And then, you know, you're really not going to get much probably in the last preseason game with RG3 and Corey Coleman. So it's just a little bit. You'll see only a little bit of him in this preseason. But again, I think we've seen that chemistry and we've seen them enough to feel pretty comfortable that it's all going to work out for Corey Coleman.
And I think there's a chance. And we saw Hugh Jackson on the first play of the last, you know, the last preseason game against Green Bay dial up Terrell Pryor. And RG3 throw it out there and Terrell Pryor run underneath it and make the great catch. There are opportunities that if Corey Coleman were healthy that you can say, hey, I'm going to feature him and we're going to try to force feed him the football so that we can see what he can do in these live scenarios and develop that rapport and connection with RG3 or Corey Coleman. But I think sometimes in those situations, I think at least at this point, for RG3 not having a weapon like Corey Coleman is actually bringing RG3 along in the Hugh Jackson system faster. Because what happens, in the same way that Eli Manning developed that rapport very quickly with Odell Beckham and started forcing the football, you know, I don't want to say force it like it's tight coverage, but feeding him the football is a better word, and Odell Beckham making the plays that he did, that's going to happen naturally. And I think what it does right now for RG3 to get from where he was when OTA started to where he is now with all that small incremental growth is you put in Higgins and Pryor and Hawkins and Gabriel and Lewis and Peyton, and you force him to throw to these guys, go through his progressions the same way Hugh Jackson will want him to. But the imagination is, how great is it going to be if he can do it with these guys getting open? What about when Corey Coleman and Gary Barnage and Josh Gordon and Terrell Pryor are now your wide receivers, creating a different level of separation with a different level of explosion and running much more precise routes?
And I agree with that. And I think if we can see him step up that way, it will be very good. And I want to see, I think my number one thing to see tonight is RG3 lead this first team down the field and score. Whether that be a combination of just RG3 throwing and running the ball himself, I'd like to see a lot of Isaiah Crowell. I'd like to see some Duke Johnson. What I'm really curious to see, though, and I know who I hope that it is, I'm not sure that it will be, Rinnell Hall got the start in the three receiver sets. It was Gabriel and Pryor. Rinnell Hall was there. He's now done for the year. We know that, suffered the broken leg, which is unfortunate for him. But I really want to see Hollywood Higgins go out there and get those
no
reps.
No surprise.
You knew it was coming. You started laughing before I even finished.
I did. I knew who I want to see.
I do. I mean, look, Marlon Moore ultimately is going to make this team because of his unbelievable performance on special teams. And I believe once you get into the season, you're going the one guy outside of the quartet of Coleman, Gordon, Pryor, and Hawkins that is likely to see real time with Robert Griffin III is Hollywood Higgins.
And I believe that to be true.
I really do. I want to see it now.
Yes, I agree. And I'd love to see, and I think if you read between the lines of what Hugh Jackson had said in answering some of his questions, it wasn't like he was mad at himself because there was really nothing he could have done because of the way the game was dictated and the small number of reps that there were out there. And when you're the head coach and you're the play caller, those two are your concerns. Rotating guys in, that falls on Al Saunders. And Al Saunders may have, in that first preseason game, wanted to give Marlon Moore and Jennings and those guys and Taylor Gabriel the reps that he thought they – or that maybe they had earned. And I think it was an opportunity where he may have expected in the third and fourth quarter an extra 15 to 20 snaps that would have gotten Higgins and Peyton and Lewis much more work. But now that we've seen them on film and you've given them that opportunity, and I think at this point, specifically with Al Saunders, he knows who these guys are. He knows, and he also, from these rookies, he's got to see more because he doesn't quite know who they are and what they can do on that stage. Because these preseason games are the most real opportunity to see how these guys will react in an NFL game to when it actually becomes the real thing. It's not quite practice, you get your work in, but this is when you want to see if they've got it or they don't. And so I wouldn't be surprised if this week, which I think there's probably going to be more offensive snaps, that if the snap counts kind of flip, meaning some of those younger players are going to get the 25 to 30 reps, and you know, and Gabriel and Marlon Moore might get those guys. Gabriel might be around, you know, 25 to 30 snaps, but I wouldn't be surprised if Marlon Moore was more between 15 and 20 on the lower end of snaps so that you can actually see what these guys can do. Because if I were Peyton or if I were Ricardo Lewis and I was excited for my first game, I'm going to be even more excited from what I've learned after my first game. I'm going to be standing in the classroom or out on the football field. Give me the chance, coach. Give me the chance. I'm going to be in his hip pocket waiting to run out there and get every opportunity, and you're going to bet on yourself to make the plays necessary to potentially make this football team.
Yeah, you want to see them get out there and do it. Ricardo Lewis, we know, tweaked a hammy as well himself on Sunday, so not sure what his availability is going to be for tonight. But I do want to see this first-team offense, and I'd like to see them establish the ground game. Isaiah Crowell, I'd like to see him get on track. Duke Johnson as well. Gary Barnage get into the mix and see those two guys connect after a misfire near the goal line that led to an interception. So I think there are a lot of things to go ahead and keep an eye on here on the offensive side of the ball. We'll get into more things we're looking for and what to watch for, but we really want to know what it is that you are looking for tonight, because this is a good test. Anytime you have a team that's going to bring, you know, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Devontae Freeman into the mix, you know, and of course they've got Mohamed Sanu, who our head coach Hugh Jackson knows very well, signed a big deal to go there and play wide receiver. So this is a team with some good skill positions on offense. They run that outside zone scheme, and that's going to be a good test for this defense, because when it's outside zone, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you need to set the edge and not let them get outside, but you also need to stay disciplined on the backside to prevent that cutback.
Absolutely, yes. The edge has to be set so that forces the running back to put his cleats in the ground and cut back in one of the holes that may or may not have created. And as you said, it's not even so much on the backside, but even sometimes on the front side. And in past history, it was Danny Shelton overrunning the play and him being on the front shoulder of the offensive lineman, and that running back cuts right back behind him, and you're forcing, you know, Christian Kirksey and DeMario Davis to then what we used to call it okie doke, which is put their cleats in the ground and okie doke back from the flow and have that running back coming downhill at you and making that tackle in the hole. And or what I saw at times last year when I watched the film was Danny Shelton gave body position of being on that front shoulder. He was actually reading the back, and when the back would put his cleats in the ground, Danny Shelton would then go back door to the back shoulder of the running of the offensive lineman to make that play on the running back, and then the running back would go front side. So it left the two inside linebackers kind of like guessing off of what Danny Shelton's going to do, where what's going to be different now is Danny Shelton's going to have a gap. It's going to be that front shoulder or that back shoulder, and Christian Kirksey and DeMario Davis are going to be playing downhill, fitting the proper gap off of Danny Shelton, the designated gap, not reading what Danny Shelton's going to do.
Absolutely, and I think it's going to be important to have that integrity, and you've talked about that, and one of the things when you watch that game against Green Bay, they did a good job most of the time of setting the edge, but not all of the time. And
yeah,
against an outside zone team, you need to set that edge every time.
You do. The one thing that I was a little about was at times when the Green Bay Packers, which is a zone scheme as well, they just do a lot of it out of the shotgun or that kind of like pistol wishbone-ish formation with their quarterbacks, because, you know, McCarthy has that, you know, some of those abstract formations, is they got, as an offensive line, Danny Shelton moving laterally. They got him moving laterally, and Danny Shelton's, you know, base of 335 pounds when moving laterally is 200 pounds, you know, and you're talking about a 300-pound lineman who can bench probably 400 pounds pushing 200 pounds. It's easily done. So yep. Danny Shelton's 300. No matter, Danny Shelton could have been 400 pounds. It didn't matter. It was that object was moving and his momentum pushed him out of the gap. And you saw James Starks and Eddie Lacy a few times knife through. So the one thing that I want to see is, and I'm sure they cleaned it up, and that's why I look forward to tonight with this zone scheme, because it will be a test, is just Danny Shelton being a little bit more deliberate, getting his hands on a guy and being forceful, and him being the guy that can squat 700 pounds and bench press 500 pounds and push that offensive lineman into the offensive backfield, allowing things to be very clear for Kirksey and Davis to play downhill.
And that offensive lineman that he's going to have to do that to is Alex Mack, someone
good.
He saw
every day. He should know
day.
A lot of them.
They should both know each other very well, and I think this will be a very good test to see where he is at. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we are going to take your phone calls, 216-578. You guys are all active on Twitter today with what you want to see. We'll read those tweets. We'll take your calls, 216-578-0850. But, Matt, somebody said something that hurt my feelings.
Uh-oh.
Joe Zagrabic says, the best way to torture someone, lock them in a room, and force them to listen to Nathan Zagura for 3 hours.
Well, good thing we only have a two-hour show.
Thank goodness. Otherwise, there'd be so many tortured people out there. That's right, Matt Wilhelm. Remember that, all of you who tweet us, which they do often, and say, we want 3 hours of your show. For Joe Zagrabic's sake, let's not do that.
Is this today?
It just happened.
What
just
have
now.
You done to poke anybody?
I don't know. I just think he finds my voice grating. It's not Zagrabic approved.
Okay.
All right. We'll try to. Can't go on. Must go on. We'll try to go on here. When we come back, more CBD right after this.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here. We want to know what you want to see. We've got tweets coming in. We'll read some of those. We got calls coming in. 216-578-0850. By the way, I want to thank Cleveland Gollum for saying he falls asleep at night listening to my voice telling Mopedman stories. So thank you, Cleveland Gollum. My man Smeagol checking in there. Appreciate you, bro. We're going to go to the phones right now, and I got to tell you, I'm so excited that Cam from Canada has gotten through. What is this, Fontana?
Canadian National Anthem.
Hey, gentlemen.
Let's get in. I'm ready for the Hello. Canada part. Cam, how are you?
Doing great.
It's
an arduous journey to get through, hey?
Yeah, yes, it is. Matt Wilhelm has some insight on that.
I do, yeah. I want to know what the beef is between you and Matt Fontana. Is he not taking your calls, Cam?
Oh, I can't speak to that.
Fontana, can you speak to that?
There is literally no way I could block calls.
Want you to know that we've had a sit down with Fontana, and you're back, Cam, and we're excited about it. So how are you doing, brother? What are you looking forward to seeing?
I'm doing great. I think it's time for Matt and I to bury the hatchet. So I'm extending the olive branch from the Canadian consulate.
Yes, there it is. Accept it, Fontana. Do you accept?
I accept, Cam. You're no longer blocked. Congratulations. Welcome back.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. I'll keep my mouth zipped a little bit. So thanks, Matt. Pretty excited about the year. Not as concerned about the secondary as I once was. I'm pretty excited about that too. So my main concern here right now is just everybody holding it together and getting the guys back healthy. And I'm really excited about the team here for sure. So it's going to be a good year. I think reasonably it's probably going to be a year where we could look for a split. Maybe win 3, maybe 4 of our first, say, 8 or 9 games, and then hope the experience that the guys get in the first, 8 or 9 games kicks in, and we maybe go on a bit of a tear. So, I don't know. I think everybody's just keeping it in perspective. Very happy with Hugh. Very, very excited about the way the roster's shaken out. And the last thing I want to say, guys, is every move these guys make, I mean, these guys in Berea, whether it be Sashi or Hugh or however it is, a collective – every move they've made so far has been, I think, very intelligent and very well thought out. So really excited.
And
about
Cam,
it.
Before we let you go, are you surprised with the growth of Terrell Pryor and obviously very optimistic about what he can do at wide receiver?
I am. I always knew the measurables were there. I wasn't sure sort of where he was at in terms of the mental focus. I wasn't sure whether he was looking to maybe referencing more what you talked about the other day, Matt, or yesterday. I wasn't sure if he was looking to maybe hit fast forward a little bit too much. Not saying he wasn't prepared to do the work, because I know he has a good work ethic, but maybe was hoping to hit fast forward and just kind of arrive there as opposed to working for it.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, it's really exciting. And, I mean, another thing, too, is I think people are being really hard on Hawkins. I think Hawkins, for the first time, is going to play in a scheme and a situation where they can take advantage of him and put him in a proper niche where he's not being asked to do things or out of his – or shouldn't be in his bailiwick. So I'm really excited about Hawkins, too. I think he's going to surprise this year.
I think Andrew Hawkins is a guy that is a known commodity for Hugh Jackson. They work together in Cincinnati, and I think he's a guy that Hugh Jackson does have plans for. He is unique. It's interesting. Andrew Hawkins went from being kind of undersized and being put in a role that maybe wasn't the best suited for him to now being truly unique amongst our receivers with the short area quickness, the footwork, and the ability to win on those jerk routes from the slot. And all of a sudden, you have guys on the outside that are going to demand attention that opens up that middle of the field.
Right, and I think as you look at, I'll say who will be on October 9th, right? Because there's going to be trials and tribulations amongst the first four games. That's just real with three of the four of them being on the road, okay? If we can, you know, come out with a victory, maybe two, that is ideal. What I'm really talking about is when you get Josh Gordon back. And it's kind of to your point, Nathan. To me, while Terrell Pryor is winning us over with what he can do at wide receiver, he may fall into that same niche with Andrew Hawkins, where Corey Coleman and Josh Gordon will be the one and two, and Terrell Pryor and Andrew Hawkins will be the three and four, but with a unique skill set that allows Hugh Jackson to dive into a very creative space within that playbook and only put them in situations where Hugh Jackson and this player are confident they can succeed. Because you know what you have in Josh Gordon. He can be dominant. We think we have a strong grasp on who Corey Coleman is with his explosion and being, you know, one of our top targets. But Pryor and Hawkins, I don't think you can rely on, you know, down in, down out to win yet. Because Hawkins, you talked about him being undersized and a specialty player. Cam referenced how he's going to be, you know, in a position where we're going to put him to succeed. Pryor, I can't trust that Pryor's going to play a full game at wide receiver and be able to be a 10 reception, 18 target guy for a $150 yet.
No, but I do think he's a guy who is going to be able to play a role, as you said. And I think the more and more that he shows that he can be an every down player, the more flexibility he gets.
Right.
I think, and with Gordon's suspension, he's going to get four games to play, you know, 50 plus snaps and show that, hey, I can be a part of this day in and day out, or maybe, you know,
sure,
I need to be more a sub-package specialty
so
guy.
I'll just throw this back at you while we're on the topic of Terrell Pryor. Okay, through 4 weeks of the NFL season, at Philly, home against Baltimore, at Miami, at Washington, what is the high receptions and yards for Terrell Pryor and the low coming out of those first 4 weeks?
Best case scenario, worst case scenario
for Terrell Pryor based on what we've seen and with him
for Philly,
as you
Baltimore,
said,
Miami, Washington.
Yeah, before Josh Gordon comes back.
I think best case scenario would be
receptions and yards.
Would be something like,
and touchdowns, I don't even need those. I just want to see how productive he's going to be.
Best case scenario would be, call it 18 catches for 300 yards and two touchdowns. So
okay,
about 75 yards a game, 4.5 catches a game.
And worst?
And his worst is that he's like
11?
Doing, you know, 12 for a $160 and a touchdown.
Okay.
Like 3 catches, 40 yards a game.
Gotcha.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I think that's where I think he's going to be. So I think he's got potential. I think that he needs to show, and I thought it was very good. He showed the vertical, and then he showed a comeback on Sam Shields on that third down. He needs to show the whole route tree, and talking to him yesterday, he is very confident in his ability, by the way, to run the entire route tree. One thing Terrell Pryor is not lacking right now is confidence in his own abilities, and he's going to get a very, very good opportunity to show why he is so confident. Let's go to Freddie in Dayton now. Freddie.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Freddie, how are you?
Hey, all right. Listen, you're talking about these wide receivers, and we got the wide receivers. But, you know, Joe Thomas, he can't block the rest of the guys, okay? I mean, you only got Joe Thomas on the line.
Well, Joel Bitonio, I think, is a very good player. I think that the jury is still very much out on Cam Irving,
yes,
moving to center. I think John Greco is proven
solid
to be a solid guard. And then I think we'll see what we've got in Austin Pastore, who looks like the favorite.
It's like you got all these receivers, but unless you protect RG3, okay, I mean, how are you going to get the ball to those wide receivers?
Wrong about what you're saying. I do think we are going to see some times where they'll throw Spencer Drango in there as that jumbo lineman, and it won't always be to run. I think sometimes it will be to pass block or vertical routes.
Down the field.
I think the best thing you can do to slow down a pass rush, is run the ball effectively and utilize the screen game, which is something that Hugh Jackson likes to do. And if you can do that, that's smart. Remember, Hugh Jackson's quarterback, okay, the goal is to have the ball out in 2.5 seconds or less. That's top eight in the league if you can do that. Now, that's something RG3's never done before. That's why that's my big thing that I'm constantly watching with RG3. How quick is the ball coming out? If you get the ball out in under 2.5 seconds, that's good. You're not going to get hit nearly as much. Now, if it takes three and a half, that changes everything. If you have complete whiffs in the middle of your line, you're going to get hit. That's the shortest distance to the quarterback is right through those A-gaps. So I do believe that you are right. I think the offensive line is a concern, and we need to see it be able to set the tone and establish in the run blocking, and we need to see it protect the quarterback, Robert Griffin III. That's something that I certainly will be watching tonight. The depth of the offensive line seems scary, but don't forget, you're only carrying seven, maybe eight offensive linemen in the year. So the guys that you see out there, the unfortunate part about it is it's tough to get a good evaluation of Cody Kessler when he's getting crashed. By the way, the Browns announced that they had released Earl Ladson, who was the left tackle for Cody Kessler's series.
Okay.
That happened yesterday.
Did we all know that was coming or not?
I mean, yes.
I mean,
yes.
It was yes, Swiss cheese
yes, we
over
did.
There it with was, holes.
It was a silk road, I was, as someone told me, to the quarterback, which is not what you want for a defensive line. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Let us know what you're looking for here. Also, we're going to have some sound bites from the head coach, Hugh Jackson, right after this.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Willem. Reminder, get down to First Energy Stadium early tonight. There are new magnetometers that everybody will walk through as the Haslams and the Browns committed to your safety, trying to make First Energy Stadium an even safer, more secure facility for you to attend a game at. So make sure you get down there early. That's one. The clear bag policy still in effect. That's two. And number three, for the first time this year, you can actually get your tickets now on your smartphone through the Browns mobile app. So something you certainly might want to check out. All right. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850 is the number to call up. Still to come, we've got Corey Coleman, D. Orlando Ledbetter, and Jenny Vrentis from Monday Morning Quarterback, who is here with RG3 and Hugh Jackson. We've got her at 2:30. So let's go right now before we get back to your phone calls. 216-578-0850. Let's hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson, on the Hugh Jackson Show. I asked him, what's one guy that really stood out to you who's going to get more playing time tonight than he got in preseason game number one? Who's earned it, Hugh?
I would have to say Jamie Meter. I mean, he did an outstanding job playing defense for us, and some of the stats you rattled off, he had a lot to do with that. I thought he played outstanding, and he's a guy that's very deserving, so I think we'll play him a little bit more. We'll give him a chance to go out there with the ones from time to time and see what he can do.
No card that came in the box.
So Jamie Meter is a guy that has just done nothing but make plays, Matt Wilhelm. He's got an opportunity to come in here now and get some start at the big end. He's been playing mostly in the middle of the defense. How different will it be for him at that big end?
It all depends how the defensive line coach is communicating the change to him. Because a lot of the principles are essentially the same. You're just doing it on different people, if that makes sense. So when you're the nose, predominantly it's going to be a base block, which means a one-on-one block with the center. It's going to be a base block potentially on the guard if the play goes away, which means the center goes away. The guard's going to come down and try to, you know, cut your inside leg or cross your face or log you, as they like to call it. And then, or it's going to be a double team by the center and the guard. When you move out, you kind of got some op. You got different things to look at. You're looking at something different. You're in a very similar stance, I would believe. But it's now going to be a base block by the guard or an out block by the guard, a down block by the tackle, a combination block between the guard and the tackle. You get into some scenarios where a down block by the tackle and a pull by the guard. So there's just a lot of different run plays when you're on one edge. So you might get off a little bit different. You might, you know, what you're looking at is a little bit different. But the principles of where you put your hands, how you fight a certain block, is pretty much applicable for all three down defensive line positions.
It is going to be interesting to see how the beef with Shelton and Meter does. Who gets the other start? Is it going to be Hayden? Is it Cooper? Is it John Hughes, who's just returned? We'll see what happens there, but something to keep an eye on. Now, one thing that Matt Wilhelm knows very well as an absolute special teams demon is that that is a way that you can make this team. If you're in, if you're looking at being the fifth or sixth receiver, you better play special teams. You're going to be the fifth or sixth corner. You better play special teams. So I ask you, Jackson, who stood out to you on special teams that is going a long way to making this team?
Oh, okay.
My man Tracy Howard did an outstanding job.
Yes, he did.
Ricardo Lewis did an outstanding job. Those are two guys that really just popped out to me watching the special teams tape. Kendrick did a good job. So it was really good for some of our young guys to go out there and really compete the way they did.
Ricardo Lewis, if he can play special teams, huge for him as a young man develops as a wide receiver. And then Tracy Howard. And did you hear what he called Tracy Howard?
My guy.
My guy. And he did that in the conference call on Sunday after the game. He did that here on when we talked to him on the Hugh Jackson Show Tuesday night. My guy.
And you know what that means? It's not that Hugh Jackson signed him or Hugh Jackson found him. It means that when Hugh Jackson looks for the people that embody every single thing that Hugh Jackson is asking them to do, and as I said before, this staff is an extension of Hugh Jackson. When you find guys that are doing everything that you ask them to do, that's how you get into the good graces with a coach. That's how a coach, as you've heard before, the cliche, it's like, I stood on the table for this guy. You got a guy that's doing it might not always be right, okay? He's not playing perfect, but he's doing things each and every day the way that Hugh Jackson is asking him to do them. Hugh Jackson and his position coach, Louis Chofi, will stand on the table, pound their fist to Sashi Brown and fight for a guy like Tracy Howard to make this football team.
So that's a pretty good thing to have.
It's a very good thing to have. That is simply a conglomerate of the last 5 months doing things the way Hugh Jackson wants them done.
Which is a good thing for Tracy Howard.
It's a great thing for Tracy Howard, and he's earned. I mean, that you don't just say my guy unless you have like a personal relationship. Like, Nathan, you're my guy. You're my guy. You know what I mean? But unless you have a personal relationship with them, and this is player and coach, which you've got a player-coach relationship, but it's like they don't know each other outside of the Cleveland Browns. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So he's earned that calling as my guy.
And let's be honest. All of a sudden now we know Joe Hayden. We know Tremont Williams. We know Jamar Taylor. And we know Justin Gilbert. So we know four guys in that cornerback room for sure. We're not sure exactly. And believe me when I say that Matt and I have no idea. We have no idea what's going on with Kaywan Williams. So, well, but I would – maybe he's here. Maybe, I have no idea. Doesn't seem like a good situation on either side right now. So I would think for me that, you know, this guy, Tracy Howard, made that play at the Orange and Brown. He's the one who got the interception. I talked about him. He was one of my players to watch in the game going in on Green Bay on the pregame show. We'll be again this week. He has been a guy that has really caught the attention, has a good chance to make this team. So where does that leave Charles Gaines? Where does that leave Trey Caldwell? Where does that leave Pierre Desir? They're going to be battling. Eric Patterson had that interception, another guy, young player in this league. They're battling to try to make this team. We'll see what ends up happening going forward. All right, Hugh Jackson, talking about the one thing he didn't like in that game one, turnovers. Have to avoid them.
There's no question. I think it's going to be the key to our championship, and we talk about it a lot, and so it was a little disappointing for them too. I'm talking about our players to see how when you don't take care of the ball, the opportunity to lose is just right there. It's the way it works.
Fontana, by the way, Goobs Cleave just sent us a great one saying that when we were waiting for you to get that sound, it was like Zoolander when they're trying to break into the computer. Remember, he's like, it's in the computer. And they're like, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Sorry, I opened the...
What, were you going to get some Chipotle for us?
No. I mean, there's some left in here if you guys would like some. No, I opened the wrong one. I was reading the four cuts, and there's six cuts in there, and I wasn't sure if you guys wanted to know how Hugh felt about last week.
All right, again, not expected to play tonight, Josh Gordon. You want to know what Hugh Jackson thought of seeing his big, strong, fast receiver out there for the first time? Well, listen.
To see Josh out there was very exciting because I haven't been around Josh in a practice environment like that. And to watch this guy run and catch, I can see why, you know, he has an opportunity to contribute to our football team.
I'm excited to see Josh Gordon. I know everybody else is excited to see Josh Gordon get out there. I think it's going to come when they play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, Corey Coleman, able to practice this week. Josh Gordon, by the way, able to get into team drills on Tuesday for the first time since rejoining the Browns. Again, exciting stuff to see, good to see, but we're still probably a week away from seeing him in game action. Corey Coleman, we're going to hear from him when we return. We'll also get into some of your tweets, 216-578-0850 if you want to call us up. P. Myers asks, how's Crow's shoulder? Crow's shoulder, fine, was told x-rays negative. He's been practicing fully. He should be good to go tonight and get the start at running back alongside Duke Johnson. More from Berea, Browns game day coverage here on Cleveland Browns Daily, right here on ESPN 850 WKNR.
There ain't no secrets anymore.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Corey Coleman, not sure on his status for tonight. I wouldn't be surprised if the team errs on the side of caution, but he has been practicing all week, which certainly is a good sign. He was at the podium. Here's what he had to say.
How's the hammy?
It's good. It's real good. You know, feel good.
You going to play Thursday?
It's not my decision. You know, that's up to Coach Jackson. We're going to discuss that tonight.
How badly you want to get out there in front of the home fans and just make your debut?
I want to play bad, but, you know, we got to do what's best for Corey Coleman.
Corey, it seemed like you stayed pretty engaged in the game, though, on Friday. You're always with RG3. How important was that for you to put aside
on, sir? It's important to get, you know, mental reps since I'm not actually out there, but I can still, you know, get with Griff. He tell me what's going on, what he see out there, what someone did that they should have did better, stuff like that.
How tough is it to watch? You had a great scrimmage here. Everybody got really excited, and you had to sit down for five practices.
Right, it's tough, but like I said, we're doing what's best for me. I'll be back healthy and like get back out there whenever we determine that, and be flying around.
Was it pretty minor? How would you characterize what happened?
Oh, yeah, it's minor. Nothing serious.
How disappointed were you, though? I mean, you really had built up a lot of momentum. You're one of the stars of camp, and everyone was talking about you. Did it kind of take a little wind out of the momentum for you?
I just came here to do my job and be the best I can be. And it did. You know, it was tough. It's always tough sitting down and watching, but, you know, like I keep on saying, you got to do what's best for me and what's going to, you know, help.
Corey, Coach Saunders mentioned that you've had, you know, a few hammy pulls in your college career, and, we know you had the groin surgery in December, but is it the hammy things? I mean, has that been a big problem for you? Is that a concern or
no?
Or
not a concern at all. Fast guys, you know, it's hard when guys fast got a lot of muscle. Easier for them to pull up, but not at all. You know, back in Baylor, I had a hamstring pull, but same reason. But this time it's not a pull. It's just it's real minor. Just looking out for me.
Do you have some faith that, you know, the Browns got all these sports science guys on staff, and I mean, do you think that can, help you? I mean, do you think that can limit these kind of injuries down the road, the more and more you get integrated into their programs?
Right. They do a great job. They spend all these hours and stuff researching and getting all this technology. You listen to them and follow the process. You know, they get paid to, that's their perfection, so you know they know what to do to get us right and stuff. So I trust them and believe them.
What was it like to see Josh Gordon out there? I mean, he hadn't practiced here since 2014, so it was a big day for him. What did you think of it?
That was pretty awesome. You know, to have him out there with us with the team, running routes and stuff. You know, it's always good to see JG out there and doing his thing.
And you formed a relationship with him before you got here.
Right, I've been knowing Josh for a minute. Since before I even got to Baylor, I remember coming up probably like my sophomore year. I was staying with Kendall Wright, and you know, I hang out, I see Josh in the locker room, me as a little as a high school, and
So from your perspective, how do you think he's doing in terms of, you know, learning everything he can from this new coaching staff, interacting with teammates? Is that all going well as he transitions back to the team?
Right. You know, his head on straight. He's doing everything he can to learn the playbook. Like you said, everyone, you know, loves JG. He's in there paying attention. He's doing everything he needs to do to be successful.
What did you think of the show Pryor put on in Green Bay for that first series?
I'm happy for him. You know, he's worked really hard, you know, translating from quarterback to receiver. And he's done an outstanding job coming in, leading. He's real smart. So, you know, he knows offense really well. He can help all the receivers out, and he's doing a great job.
I know you made big plays in the scrimmage, but seeing him do that in the game, does that make you say, hey, I want to be out there and doing that in the game?
I'm happy for him. And of course, I want to be out there, you know, doing what I do in the game. But, you know, everything happened for a reason, and I'm going to be back.
Do you think you'll be nervous if you play Thursday, first NFL game? Or do you, what do you think the emotions will be like, seeing that dream come true?
Right, it's going to be crazy. I'll be a little bit nervous before kickoff, but once I step out there, I'll be fine.
That was Corey Coleman again. No official word on his status for tonight. Wouldn't be surprised though if the team does err on the side of caution. Really, what you want to have your team's full strength September the 11th against the Eagles. Still opportunity for him to get work, but maybe we will get a Cleveland treat with Corey Coleman tonight.
It'd be nice. And I think if, in fact, we were to see him at all, he'd probably have six plays. You know, and it allows him to truly just be in uniform, go through the warm-ups of a professional football game, and then to create a mindset about him to be ready for September 11th is to have him ready to go out there and run, you know, 4 to 5 routes, you know, close to full speed, which is actually going to allow him to win. You're going to run the football as we want to see out of Crow and Duke, where you might, Coach Saunders might want to see him stock blocking a guy a little bit if he can play at that level and be physical on the edge, you know, both as a blocker and as a receiver, and then you get him out of the game. That's it. That's all I'd expect.
Yeah, if it is, if you do see him, it will be limited. Again, I don't expect that we will see him tonight, Corey Coleman, but you never know. We'll find out. Official word should come probably while you're on the radio doing the pregame coverage here all along the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns radio network. We ask people what they want to see out there. Nick Smith at Eulogy68 says, I want to see the O-line step up and the defense chasing their quarterback, even if only a play or two. And I think the offensive line, defensive line, point of attack, I think that's something that this Browns team certainly and these Browns fans want to see this team step up at, because to run a power offense, you need to be dominant at the point of attack and to be able to stop the run, which is something the Browns have struggled to do, and to get to the quarterback again, dominant at the point of attack.
Yeah, and the point of attack, as you mentioned earlier, with this zone scheme, where is that point of attack? Because there's multiple points of attack in a zone run scheme because you don't necessarily know where the football is going to go. A couple points of attacks are, as you mentioned, setting that edge, shutting that down. The second is, once those gaps start to move, as I've mentioned with Danny Shelton, can Danny Shelton get his hands on, drop his weight, you know, and become the second kind of point of attack once that ball is kind of capped, to allow everything to funnel back to Christian Kirksey and DeMario Davis? And then from a point of attack, the other standpoint is, has Cam Irving made enough strides after Friday night to allow himself to come out and play a little bit more physical, a little bit more confident? And then also, I want to see, you know, the combination blocks between Cam Irving and Joel Bitonio should mash some of these off or defensive linemen and be able to, and allow them to both be athletic enough to get up onto the second level. And I like those odds with Crow running down their back with that head of steam that we've seen thus far through camp.
Yeah, we want to see that power run game, those big holes. We've seen some of them in practice. We want to see some of them with the first team today. And again, stopping the run, I think that's something. Phil at ZC12 says, I want to see this team at full strength. Yes, we all do, but I think in the NFL, is any team ever at full strength, Matt Wilhelm?
Very rarely.
All right, we've got some more coming in from people, what they want to see. Browns backers Montreal says, want to see the Browns establish the run on offense, effectively stop the run on defense. That is something, obviously, that people are very, very focused on. And then I think this one's good. Kyle Fries, this is his mind is right where mine is, progress. This whole season should be about being better than they were the week before.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't blame the Dog Pound for wanting to see our ability to run the football and our ability to stop them running the football. While, you know, past regimes, basically, again, as I said earlier, pounded their hands on the table about what they're going to do in regards to stopping the run and run the football, which was a change at offensive coordinator. Hugh Jackson hasn't necessarily done that. We know Hugh wants to run the football based on past history. We've also heard Hugh say that, but he's not standing on top of the table banging his fist about it. He's out there coaching these guys up.
Sure.
And is going to prepare a game plan that puts us in the best opportunity to win a football game. And we know, as we're year one into the Cleveland Browns turnaround, that running the football and shortening that football game is going to work into our favor.
Yes, and here's one from Weimer 19. Less of the quarterbacks getting up off the turf, less penalties, less safeties, overall improvement and growth from game one. Agreed, 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 and agreed. Buck in Newcomers Town says, I want to see our defense get off the field on third down. That's important. You want to win the National Football League, those are the money downs. That's why quarterbacks get paid the big bucks. They convert third downs. Defensive coordinators whose teams stop third downs, they get paid the big bucks as well. And defenders who can help that get paid. Those are guys who get to the quarterback. Those guys who stop wide receivers. Paul Myers Golf says, I want to see Jared Payton step up. Pryor again. I want to see Cam be okay at center. Duke and Crow plus 4 yards a carry. And I want to find out if Hamlet's a keeper and get just a glimpse of our future with Josh Gordon. I don't know if you're going to get that today or not, but I can't wait to get that glimpse of Flash running around there either.
I agree about the glimpse. I agree about a lot of the names that he named. But the guys that I want to see that I think are going to have the most early impact for the Cleveland Browns, Corey Coleman's going to be one of them, but I think the other two are on the other side of the ball, and it's Carl Nassib and Emmanuel Ogba. Those are the guys that my eyes are going to be naturally drawn to when they're in the football game because of the impact and the disruption they caused in the first preseason game. Can they do it again? And is that going to be something, as I said, for these rookies to make an impact of consistency, consistent impact week after week after week, to the point where these are our guys, and the fact that they're doing it as rookies, let alone the experience that they'll get all this season for next year as we add another 12 to 15 draft picks.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Can keep get this infusion of talent. E. Scribala says, I want to see touchdowns, horizontal Falcons quarterbacks, and Mo Pedman doing the bossa nova.
I want to see Mo Pedman doing the truffle shuffle.
I'll take any of those, especially the last one, Mo Pedman there. Paul Myers one more time says what he wants to see on defense. A role for Mingo, stop Devontae Freeman, Shelton playing strong sacks. That's what I'm focused on defense. And then Cleveland champion, I like this. He says, I want to see a process. Guys battle, process, building, battle, process. The number one pick in 2017, which should come hopefully via the Philadelphia Eagles, the team that we want the Browns to get off to a good start and defeat in week number one. All right, when we come back, we will hear from D. Orlando Ledbetter, Atlanta Falcon beat writer from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Talk to us about what to expect from the Falcons tonight and also what it's been like for Alex Mack there with the Falcons. Kyle Shanahan, some Browns connections to be sure in this game.